Disrupted times need disruptive formats. Frogs on the airwaves. Mistakes. Playlists that no algorithm will ever recommend. And I know weirdness can make us uncomfortable, but discomfort isn't a failure. I believe that it's a signal. It means that something alive is trying to break through. Strangeness isn't the enemy of truth. It's the way that truth sneaks in sideways. It says, you don't have to sound like me, and please don't sound like me. Just sound like you. Because in the end, it's not the content. It's the contact. It's not the reach. It's the resonance. It's not the polish. It's the possibility. So if I can offer you anything tonight, after all this, it's this. Keep being strange. Take that permission slip to the end of the world. Let your show be too much. Let your voice shake. Let your playlist get so weird. So weird. Let the silence stretch for longer than you know it should. Let the stranger in. Because they're you. They're us. They're why we built this signal in the first place. So may your weird be welcome. May your frequency stay just a little fuzzy. May you make space for what makes no sense, but feels absolutely right in your bones. May you never sound like another. And may your mistakes become the most beloved part of the archive. Because strange times, they don't just tolerate strangeness. They demand it. Thank you. I'll be listening.
Okay, we're getting towards the end of this little radio feature now, and I'm so glad that I was able to include some of Robin's inspiring and pertinent words. The last little snippet that I have for you is from an interview with the executive director of the NCRA, Barry Rook. But before we hear that, I'd just like to give a few shout-outs to some folks. You see, NCRA is the organization behind this conference, but proper due must also be given to that year's host station, CHLY in Nanaimo. They did such a great job in organizing extracurricular events and creating a fun and engaging atmosphere. So shout out to station manager Jesse Woodward and all of the CHLY volunteers for all of their hard work and their inclusive attitude. Big shout out also to CHLY host Joe Pugh for letting me camp out in his driveway and to Connor, the coordinator, for giving me a local's view of his city. So, back to Barry. Being the executive director of the NCRA, Barry was obviously at the top of this conference, but he felt more like a camp dad, really, than a big boss, and he's clearly passionate about community radio. Here he is on the morning after the awards show at the downtown library for the very last workshop and subsequent NCRA board meeting.
As a newly participating, very small station, I walk out of this feeling that I've been very much included, and the NCRA been constantly fielding questions on inputs, what can you guys be doing better, and so on. So I feel like much more than just a celebration. You are actively trying to encourage people to create more work for you. What are some of the takeaways from this conference, do you think? What will you be working on in the next year?
Yeah, and exactly as you said, the amount of information that we get from the members' interactions allows us to move forward with what some of those ideas are. And we're just like you as a radio station. Our goal is to reflect the community and support the community back. Our community happens to be radio stations. Your community happens to be the community at large and your listeners. So we're just trying to sort of view the same way in what the work that you're doing. And what that's told us is that there's interest in collaboration and promotion of the industry and growing and developing the sector as a whole, trying to find ways in which we can help to better make discoverable content and what that our members are making. So there's a number of these areas that having a chance to sit down and chat with people doing our Birds of a Feather, where there was group discussions around key ideas and goals, codes of conduct and whatnot. Those are all areas that now both were often on the radar, but now we have a better understanding of priority and wants and needs. And, you know, it makes our job a lot easier to do. Because all we want to do is find out what you need help with and then help you. So,
We had a really great presentation by John from Australia. He's your equivalent, so to speak, in Australia. And that was really inspiring. He was the opening keynote. And after that, we heard from the CRFC and from other organizations involved. And I feel like despite all the challenges that media are facing generally, it feels like local radio stations, community radio stations at campus are on the up and up. And it seems like more funding is coming in, or at least there's really a hopeful feeling there. Is that your sense as well?
Yeah, there's a number of things that are on the horizon that have either been promised or we're expecting to finalize through court systems and whatnot. So there's some really positive things. There's core funding from the CRTC and the broadcasting updates. The Local Journalism Initiative just got renewed for journalists in desert areas. The Canadian Journalist Coalition, who distributes Google funding, has money coming out. There's still lots of problems with that process, but it means that we're able to go forward. There's advertising opportunities. The Radio Fund's got new grants coming out. So there's a lot of those momentums and opportunities. And I'm also seeing that with the number of people who are interested and involved. I've got a dozen plus radio stations or want to be radio stations going forward. That number is growing. It's not growing in anywhere else in the sector. And we'll have a new national report out about listening numbers and interest. I would be dramatically surprised if that has not increased again by a large amount, because we're the only ones that are creating content that's live, that's local, that is relevant to the community that we're servicing. No offense to the commercial broadcasters or the CBC. You do your thing, that's great. People are looking for what we're doing, so that's why it's so important that the stations do get that funding.
Okay, thank you so much, Barry. I'm going to let you go and grab some lunch while you're getting ready for the rest of the board meeting. And I want to say on behalf of my own station and everybody I'm sure involved in the conference, thank you so much for your friendliness, your approachability, and not least all the hard work.
Oh, happy to, and I hope we get to see you soon. Next year we're going to be in Toronto in the big city, so we'll get to see that. Hopefully you'll make that trip and join us.
I will do my best. Thank you.
I'd love to hear if you put everything together.
There were more than 30 sessions hosted at this conference, and I can't possibly cram all of my impressions into this feature, but I do want to express my gratitude to everybody there for making a radio rookie like me feel so very welcome. You gave me an appetite for getting deeper into community radio, and you inspired me on so many levels for my own radio productions. In the months that has followed, I have consulted my notes from the conference many times in my work as a member of the board of directors of my local station, CHFR. And it's made me feel like I almost know what I'm doing. It even gave me the confidence to submit some of my own work for the 2026 Crabo Awards. I feel hopeful about that, And I also feel hopeful for the community radio sector as a whole. I've gone from thinking about it as a fun pastime to considering it a really important step away from doomscrolling fake news on social media and the dominating narratives of global media conglomerates. Community radio is your chance to get your voice and your message out into the world without submitting to commercial demands or formulas. It's where you can learn what's going on where you live and what the people right around you think about the topic of the day. And who knows, you might just find yourself changing your mind or somebody else's. For now, I hope you had an interesting time joining me at the National Community and Campus Radio Conference in Nanaimo, BC 2025. Thank you very much for listening, and hear you out there, on air, somewhere, on your local station, dialed in to your community. The feature you just heard was produced by me, Cornelius Lundsgaard. The background music was produced by Carl Biele and me, and the jazz band you heard was the Kaylee Borsboom Quartet. Thank you to the NCRA for the use of official recordings from the NCRC 43 conference. And many, many thanks, of course, to all of the interviewees. You can find more of my work on soundcloud.com. Search for Radio Cornelius.
Who doesn't love music? Join the weekly discussion at the CJSF Record Club with other music aficionados, checking out new releases and forgotten classics, exploring and learning about genres and loving music. Every Thursday at CJSF Burnaby from 4 p.m. till 5 p.m. Listen, learn, and share.
Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby. CJSF is diverse, independent, and yours. Underrepresented music, local voices, and real people. You keep CJSF independent.
This is Nicole Hines with CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, and I'm here with Am Johal, Executive Artistic Director of the Indian Summer Festival that's taking place at venues across Vancouver, Burnaby, and Surrey from July 9th to 19th, 2026. So Am, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
Great. Wonderful to be here with you, Nicole. Great to be able to join you folks, and hello to all the listeners out there.
Yes, wonderful. So let's get into the Indian Summer Festival. I would love to for you to maybe share a bit about the history and tell us a little bit about the festival.
Absolutely. We like to think of ourselves as the Festival for Curious Minds. We're into our 16th year. I first came across the festival when the founder, Suresh Rao, and Laura Bispalko joined me on a Skype call. I was working at SFU School for Temporary Arts and Community Engagement, and they wanted to start a festival, and SFU was a partner in its early years for about a decade. And so it happened downtown at the Woodwards campus at the School for Contemporary Arts. It's a multi-arts festival, so we have music, theater, dance, visual arts, literature, so many different ways that the festival links in with community and cultural partners. I later on joined the board, and then last year I was the curator in residence, and now I've slept into the executive artistic director role. So part of my role is to come up with a curatorial theme.
Yes.
And this is the basis by which we do our invitations. Oh, to artists. There's a little bit of everything. Of course, being a South Asian festival, once we finish one meal, we like to speak about the next meal as South Asian people. And we share that with many other cultures. And so there's food and other things built into the festival as well. It's a
Awesome.
one part of the cultural landscape of Vancouver in the summer with Folk Fest and Jazz Fest and so many other things going
Right,
on.
right. I love that. And you mentioned theme because that was actually going to be my next question is what is the theme for this year?
I'll start with last year when I came in. Our theme last year was borderless solidarity. It's trying to think beyond the nation state, to think beyond the kinds of things that keep communities separated. We're in loaded geopolitical times. These have been with us before, and so this year the theme is called Ragas for a Ruptured World. Ragas in Indian classical music are a kind of structure for improvisation, and we're using that term metaphorically to think about the different ways in which we deal with a world that's unraveling as a kind of open question, and to think about what the role of art and culture is within that in terms of our own forms of investigation, research, expression in various art forms. And so in pulling together the statement, which is up on our website, it's the basis by which we start to have conversations with artists to invite them to be part of the festival and ask them to reflect on ways they can see themselves inside the work. It's not meant to be overly didactic, but just an invitation for them to interpret the theme in their own way and to bring something of their work inside of that. And so that will be what sort of holds the festival together. But we're really excited to have a mix of comedians, musicians, writers, outdoor free events, along with having a chance to be out in Burnaby and Surrey as well in the region.
I love that. And it brings me on then to my next question is that if I'm new, just listening now for the first time and hearing about the festival, what advice would you give to like navigate the festival for the first time? Would it be like heading to the website and like, what?
I think going to the website is a great way to just see the range of performances and activities that are happening. We have a little hub down on Granville Island where we have micro performances going on. There's going to be a gong library that will be free to visit during the day to make whatever kind of noises you want to. We use the Waterfront Theater for artist talks. So we have Julian Brave Noisecat, who's Academy Award nominated documentary director of Sugarcane. He has a great book called We Survived the Night, and I'll be in conversation with him early in the festival. We have a wonderful comedian coming, Vidura Bandara Rajapaksa, a Sri Lankan comedian who's been based in Berlin and London. He's never been to Vancouver before, but he does a kind of, heady post-colonial humor, sort of puncturing at some of the stereotypes and myths of the global South and other places. And he does a great job of unpacking. I've just been actually trying to work to get his visa to Canada, which for, artists that require visas to come to Canada, it was already pretty difficult before. And now new biometric requirements, it
I
was quite a
know.
hassle to just have artists arrive into the city.
So I'm, sending the vibes that it all works out smoothly because yeah, they sound fantastic. My next question, so you did kind of mention this, but I do want to kind of stress this as well, is that there are like a lot of free options at the festival.
Yes, that's right. Like I said, the Gong Library on Granville Island will be free to access once it's open during the festival. We are also going to be in Punjabi Market on the final day of the festival, which is a free event. We have a full 10-piece Qawwali band called Naksh that will be performing alongside poets who will be doing some call and response with them. So it'll be like 3 hours outdoors at Punjabi market, which is really fantastic. We also have some art installations as well.
Okay.
We have wonderful artists from Victoria Farheen Haq, who will have two video pieces up on the Mount Pleasant Community Art Screen. We partnered with the Grunt Gallery that programs that screen. So that will be up during the festival the entire time. So there's going to be a number of free events that people can access, and then other events that are ticketed.
Awesome. And I just want to plug for everyone again, the festival is going to be taking place from July 9th to 19th. The website is indiansummerfest.ca, and I will make sure that I include that into the show notes as well, so that, you know, it's easy for people to access. And are you on sort of the social media streets as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We're on Instagram and Facebook primarily under Indian Summer Festival. You'll be able to find all of the posts and learn more about the artists from the posts that are going up. We try and do a mix of artists that are coming in from out of town, really focusing on emerging artists and as well as local artists as well, and sometimes performing together. Mm-hmm. For example, we have Rashmeet Gaur, who has had a meteoric rise in India, who does Punjabi and Sufi music. She had a recent collaboration with a Kashmiri musician. She's doing her first tour through North America. She was just in Toronto at the Luminato Festival doing a free concert at Harborfront Center. Wow. She's in Brooklyn right now, going to be in San Francisco and other places, but it'll be her first ever concert in Vancouver. So we're really excited to be presenting her work. And opening will be Asad Khan, who is a DJ based here, but he has a project called Sama, which he plays vinyl records, everything from Hindi to Sufi to other pieces. It's a deep listening experience. I saw him for Ali Sethi at the Chan Center. It's a really, really special experience. So he's going to open for Rashmeet Gaur. And they have previously collaborated on some music before, which I didn't know about when I paired them together.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wasn't a curatorial genius on my pure coincidence, but it's really wonderful that they're going to be performing at the Playhouse on Saturday, July the 11th.
Yeah. Love that. And with the fact that this is the 16th year, I would assume that you, like, there's a great attendance year after year, correct?
Yeah, obviously we were, like all festivals, affected by the pandemic, having to go online. And then as many festivals depleted through their reserves and are on, you know, tight financial positions right now, and particularly with FIFA in town,
right,
where the cost of airline flights and hotels have gone up substantively, although they've come down now, it's too late for our planning cycle.
Of course.
And so it really disrupted, you know, what our expenses are and what our revenues are going to be. And so I really hope your listeners would come out and support, you know, all the festivals, not just ours, Folkfest, Jazz Fest, many others, because we're all going through precarious financial times right now. I'm chair of the Vancouver International Film Festival. Mm-hmm. Also, that happens in October, but, you know, we've also had challenging financial times. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we had a choice of either going inward and doing a smaller festival, and we decided to go the other way and let's just go for it and take a risk and hope that the public would come out and support. We have a wonderful veteran musician, Tarun Nair, who is performing with his modern biology project. We're going to be doing an outdoor concert at Van Dusen Gardens. Tarun uses plant electricity, which he hooks into synthesizers. And really, you know, some people call it mushroom music. Some people call it pieces. His work is inspired by an Indian scientist from the early 20th century, who a polymath who did a lot of work, early work around plant electricity.
Yes.
And so he does this project in Berlin. He travels around the world with this project. And so we're really excited to have it be in outdoors in a beautiful, lush setting like Van Dusen Gardens. And we're going to bring food trucks and other pieces. And so really excited about enjoying the summer weather outside and listening to the music that our plants and other living beings, the more than human, make.
I love that. And I just want to put it out there, listeners, stay tuned because I am going to be chatting with Tarun next week. So we'll be able to, you know, listen to him talk about this. And it looks so exciting. I want to be there for that because when I started to read into it, I'm like, OMG, this is great.
Totally, totally.
All right, Em, I just want to thank you again for joining me. Before I let you go, is there anything, you know, you might want to share that maybe we didn't touch on?
Yeah, I'll just mention a couple events that might be interesting to your listenership. We have Abby Govindan, who will also be doing a Vancouver debut at the Rio. She's a comedian. She's 29 years old. She's been going full time as a comedian touring this year, which is a very difficult thing to do when you're just breaking out.
Yes.
We're really excited to have her play the Rio on Wednesday, July the 15th. That'll be a really great event. And on Granville Island, we have a micro a performance project with an actress named Anita Majumder, who grew up in Port Coquitlam. And it's a work called Why We Work Out. We only have seating for about 30 people per show. And she's actually going to go through an entire workout as part of the performance. Sometimes she's too, so she's really going to get her cardio going. But it should be an interesting piece that's really introspective about the body and the times that we're living in. And certainly, we're going to be in the beautiful Ismaili Center in Burnaby, where the Mohammed Hassani Quartet will be playing. It's an architectural masterpiece. Uh-huh. The Ismaili Center, and for, you know, a lot of people don't have an opportunity to go there, to chance to see that space and hear the music of Mohammed Hassani. And this one last event out in Surrey, we're doing a night of raga music, which really ties to our curatorial theme. Raga Echoes is going to be doing a night of Indian nightingales, so music, classic music from the 50s and 60s that a lot of people remember from old films. And then Ragaverse, which is the lead singer is Shruti Ramani, who combines Indian classical training with jazz music and improvisation. She does really remarkable work in terms of breaking out into new forms. And so really looking forward to a big audience being out there in Surrey.
Amazing. Thank you so much again, everybody. I will put the link in the show notes so that you can kind of check all of these artists that Em just kind of shared. And I hope, you know, everybody take some time to visit because it is, you know, it's quite a lot of time for the festival itself. You've got about 10 days. So I think there's going to be something for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's indiansummerfest.ca. Please do come join
us. Yes, absolutely. Again, thank you so much, Em.
Yeah, thank you, Nicole. Take care.
All I can get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm.
I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy. And it keeps getting louder.
We have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce.
The only logical solution is to listen to CJSF 90.1 FM. They broadcast from Burnaby Mountain in British Columbia. Let's tune in now.
This is Bird Note. When waterfowl are in decline, hunters are some of the first people to sound the alarm and fund the recovery. Jared Hinson is a project manager with Ducks Unlimited, a nonprofit hunting and conservation group.
The North American model of conservation puts the bulk of the responsibility to fund conservation on hunters, because hunters in general are the consumptive users of those habitats, and they're just more willing to give money to that cause.
That money not only comes from hunting license sales, but also taxes on gear.
So guns, ammo, binoculars, all those sporting goods that you would use for hunting, a portion of that tax goes to the states, and they can then allocate that into conservation funding.
Financial support is just one way that hunters contribute to habitat management.
Waterfowl biologists and scientists have been leveraging hunters for data for almost 100 years now. The big thing now is avian influenza. Hunters are some of the first to see the impacts of that in the field, especially since the main vector for it is waterfowl. And so hunters really play a big role in disease monitoring.
Learn more about how hunters support wildlife conservation in Season 8 of Bring Birds Back. Available in your favorite podcast app. and on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Jazzy Johnson.